Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game, amen. No rain on the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game, amen. No rain.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I am your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined by JD from Chicago, not the one from New York, from Chicago, I promise. Not even the one from Ohio. JD, by God, Oliva, how you doing, JD?
I'm about 60 miles west of Chicago, to be honest with you. Like, I'm like three counties away from Chicago. My wife and I went to Chicago this past weekend to watch Gabriel Iglesias.
Hey, okay.
Fluffy.
How was that?
Freaking hilarious, man. Yeah. He is amazing. What a storyteller. Like, it was an unbelievable show. It was funny. We had 14, is it the United Center, 14,000 people in the building for a comedy show. It was a good time. It was a real good time.
Yeah.
It took forever to get there and forever to get home.
Yeah. He's got a new Netflix special out. I was thinking about checking it out. They got so much comedy on Netflix these days. It's incredible. It's like they're just cranking out the like 1 hour shows, like 1 hour stand-up specials, like it's going crazy. Kind of like what HBO used to do back in the day.
Yeah, they're
having them like pretty regularly. Like Netflix has kind of taken over that scene. Mm-hmm. There's like, if you just go like in their comedy sections, like just ton of stand-up there right now. And he's got like a new one out right now. I need to go check it out.
Stand-up's great. He was saying that. He's like, he made a joke. If you've just seen my Netflix special, everyone, I have all new materials. So yeah, so he kind of messed with everybody. good time. Yeah, good show. They had four other people. He had four openers. So if you're friends with Fluffy, he's a good dude to be friends with. He takes you on a tour with him. And yeah, it was a good time. Good date night for me and the wife. How are you?
Yeah. Good, man. Good. So went to this place on Oahu called Waikai. It is an adventure park, but on the ocean. So it's like they have like this little lagoon over there, and they put like these inflatable obstacle courses there. They have a bunch of other stuff too, but my daughter and I just did the inflatable obstacle course, and it was pretty cool, except for like I got tired after a while because my daughter was having so much fun. I was having trouble keeping up with her, and like I was doing cannonballs off the side, and it was hard for me to get back up onto the raft because, you know, brother's belly got a little big, so I kind of looked like a beached whale trying to climb up, and like my and I was like really struggling to get back up. My daughter's like, okay, do it again, daddy, do it again. I'm like, shit, man. It's like this, like, she doesn't understand that I'm like almost 42 and I'm exhausted.
Dude, I'm 45 and I've been training with college kids like at 6 a.m. I've been going to school early and getting on the mat and wrestling live. Dude, I wiped out. We had a kid, one of my best proteges came home for his spring break, and we just trained. And like I had a giant, if you saw my Facebook page, I had a giant, it looks better now, but I had a giant bruise on my arm from training gut wrenches and just like wrenching on his hips. Like it was gnarly, but I just feel like I'd wrestle with these guys in their 20s. And I used to just go and go and go. That was my talent. I never got tired. Brother gets tired now. Let me tell you something.
Like, yeah. Well, yeah. Good news is unless you're like wrestling guys on HGH or like EPO, they're all going to get tired too. Like when you're in your the master's class,
that's the key. Is I have to be in better shape than them.
Yeah,
and I'm okay. Like once I'm there, I'm fine. I'm taking it seriously. Like I'm training and doing Tabata circuits every day, and like I'll get there. I got time, but yeah, It's not as easy as it used to be.
So we're on a random Monday night, and it's completely my fault, by the way. Hawaii, they don't do daylight savings.
It's almost always my fault when we have like derailed. It's always my fault.
Yeah. Well, Hawaii doesn't do daylight savings time. And I know that it was like a full week ago, but on Sunday I had planned on doing the show at 5:30 Hawaii time. Right. And 5:30 Hawaii time for the last 6 months has been what 9:30 your time?
9:30 Chicago time. Yeah.
Yeah. 9:30 Chicago time. But now 5:30 Hawaii time is 10:30 Chicago time. So JD and I didn't coordinate, and I had like plans. So we were meeting up with our neighbors. We were down in Honolulu at this cafe called Moku Cafe. It was actually really good. I had a smash burger. Pretty delicious. And then afterwards we got gelato. Like there's this big courtyard with all these different like restaurants and like record stores. They got live music and kids can go run around and play. And I was like, I saw your text and I was just like, it's like, huh? It's like, oh my God, the time changed. I got to be home in 45 minutes to record my podcast. And the kids had just started playing. And I was like, should I end all of this and end the kids' fun and like tell my neighbors, like, no, I have to go record a stupid fucking podcast. So I was just like,
I'd have been mad at you if you'd ended family time to hang out with my dumbass.
Yeah. So I was just like, you know what? Let's just push it a day. So I understand that the neighbors are the numbers are going to tank this week. I almost thought of like for fucking no reason putting a Tony Khan dumb face like thumbnail. It's like, look, I just need to juice these numbers up a little bit, man, because I know the numbers are going to be real bad because we're on a Monday.
Do you remember how much shit we used to get when you would do that?
Dude,
infuriated with us.
Dude, I only did the dumb face like once or twice. I did like a lot. I used Tony Khan thumbnails a lot when he's like the subject of the show or of the clip, but I did the dumb face like a couple of times, and like a lot of like sanctimonious whites like came after me, dude. Like they were fucking pissed about that. And I was just like, he's just got a stupid looking face. I think it's funny. Like, and oddly enough, I did the same thing to Triple H, and I've done it to Scott D'Amore. Like I typically do it to people in power, right? Like make them look stupid. They didn't really think that was offensive. It was just like Tony Khan, right? Because he's a protected species, I guess.
People we like would be like, I can't believe you guys are doing that. And I'm like,
right.
It's a joke. Like,
yeah, it's a bit. What the hell?
Like, I don't know. People get, I don't know. It's, and I'm an AEW fan. I'm like, I'm a sanctimonious AEW fan, quite frankly. Right. Like, I'm a A1 straight in line WWE hater supreme. Like, no one's going to argue that. But even I'm like, Mike, this is like, what are we like? What's going on? Why are people so mad about this? Like,
right. They're like, Mike's a grifter. I'm just like, do you realize how little money you get from these videos?
I wish we were grifters. You know how much more money we'd have if we grip. Yeah. AEW sucks, man. Bully Ray is right. We ain't getting no money for that. Like,
yeah. Speaking of grifting podcasters, did you hear about what happened to the other JD this weekend?
No, I got on fucking X like on Thursday, and I just had a meltdown. I was there for like 5 minutes. I'm like, everybody sucks. I hate this. And I checked out. What the dipshit? God, I hate sharing. I hate that there's two people in this world with my name that I absolutely hate now, but like, it is what it is. Yeah. What did that dipshit say?
He didn't actually like do anything.
Oh, so what happened?
I didn't know this, but he's on commentary for House of Glory Wrestling, right?
Is he really?
And yeah, I've never actually watched that show, so I had no idea. And Mercedes Moné this weekend, she wrestled Indy Hartwell, and JD from New York does commentary for them. And like right before her match, he got pulled from commentary. She's like, "Get that fucker off commentary."
Mercedes now, said that?
No, she didn't say it. Like I'm just like obviously that's me reading the situation. I don't know. Like there's no like actual reporting of exactly what happened, but like if you scroll like social media and you scroll his social media, because I was like into the story, you could pretty much surmise that that's like what happened. Like she's like, I don't want him commentating my match, because like he has been, I've never seen his show, by the way. I just need to put that out there. I've never actually, I don't know anything about this guy. Never seen his show. Sometimes his clips will come across my For You feed and I just never listen to him. But from what I gather is this guy's been like downright abusive to Mercedes Moné. Like thumbnail after thumbnail, calling her a flop and a failure, which is funny because I have also done that, but not to the extent that he's been doing that. I also am not a fan of hers, but I don't think I've gotten to the point where I'm. So he's been just like railing on her for years. And then 2 days before she is on that show, he goes on his podcast and he starts praising her. It's like, oh, she's great. I've never had a problem with her. I've only had a problem with the booking of her. It's never been a her problem. And I'm really happy that apparently that didn't work because she ended up having him pulled from the show. And like, she's taking a little bit of heat for it. He's taking some heat. And I'm just like, I was like, you know what? Like, I at first I was like, that's pretty awesome that she like kicked his ass out of there because he's clearly a grifter. But then I was like, I bet there's some wrestlers out there that would also have me booted from a show if I were on it. Because like, you know, if like Tummy Dreamer's on a wrestling show and I'm like doing commentaries, like, look, that guy's been calling me Tummy for 5 years now. I don't think I want this guy on the show. Or Salami Callahan is probably going to come after me one day. But so like I see both sides, but I think I'm on Mercedes's side on this one because I'd probably have his ass kicked off too.
Here's the thing. It's like when you become a guy who makes a stand, who takes stands against things, you can't be mad about it. And people say, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like I can't be mad about that. That's why you can't, like, if you're going to be a commentator, right, for an independent show, you kind of got to own everything. Like Walker Stewart, or no, was Walker, or was it? No, it was Chris Charlton, beginning of the year with New Japan. You know, he kind of went into business for himself, was trying to push an angle, and didn't work out so good for him, got suspended. And that's New Japan. Like, you know, if you're going to be edgy, you know, you can't be mad and you get cut. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to take it. And he was, you know, obviously a little bit upset about it, but calling her, saying she's soft. And was like, no, you're being a dick. Right. Like, and nobody, if like you're being a dick and like people don't want to work with you if you're like that. Like, right. So, and you have an edgy podcast and you're cranking up the heat. And then now you're getting into where you kind of have a gimmick online. That's going to come back to bite you one day. And that's what happened here. So you just got to be like, yeah, you know what? Like, I get it. And honestly, if somebody like didn't want me on like one, I would never do like a wrestling show, but if like say that happened and a wrestler's like, I'm not working with Mike Gilbert, I would try to at least talk to them, right? And be like, hey, look, let's just do some business or something like that. But if they said, look, I'm not working with that guy and I got kicked off the show, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? That makes sense. Cause I can be a little bit bombastic on the podcast. I think when you're doing podcasting and you're on commentary, or doing providing commentary on podcasting, if you serially ride the fucking fence, you're boring. So instead of like, hey, that doesn't work for me, and you say that fucking sucks, you're a little bit more interesting when you say that fucking sucks, right? Like, that's just the way that it goes sometimes. So you do crank up the heat a little bit, and sometimes that'll come back to bite you.
So I hated Mark Madden, right? I hated his commentary. Yeah. Like in WCW, I thought he was an annoying cross between Bobby Heenan and Mankow, which made me just like hate him even more. And then like he was such an asshole in all of his like commentary that it made me actively not want to watch WCW, which was my favorite promotion until he got involved, because it was already downhill. But his very presence on Nitro made me not want to turn it back on. So I mean, like, that's the thing, is you're gonna be that guy, you have to kind of own what you are.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I said. I don't think no one's going to hire either you or I to do commentary for a wrestling show. In fact, that's a bad idea. Don't do that.
Yeah. I wouldn't even know how to do that. It's like,
dangerous.
I don't know the names of all the moves. I couldn't do like, even do an impression of either one of them. Like, I couldn't even come close. There's no way I can remember all the fucking variations of the diamond cutter. It's like, whatever you guys want to call it. I'm just going to call it a cutter. I don't really care.
See, I could do that. I could tell you the different variations on the diamond cutter, but I don't mean like, I don't know, like we kind of carved our niche doing this. Like, I don't really want to be a pro wrestling commentator. I think if you're just going to be this guy, if you're going to be, you know, Johnny Dickhead podcaster, just be Johnny Dickhead podcaster. I understand there's people out there who don't like you. There's people who don't like you and me. We read the comments every week. Like, actually, I stopped reading the comments, but I mean, that's fine. Like, if you have nothing, like you said, if you have nothing critical to say or nothing like with some substance, then you're milquetoast.
Yeah.
But that pendulum swings both ways, baby. Like, you can't get mad when it comes back and gets you.
That's freedom. You have freedom of speech, but that doesn't mean you're not going to face consequences, right? You don't get freedom from consequences. And like the government's not going to arrest you because you're like a dickhead podcaster. But if you're a dickhead to people, they might come after you, right? And like, that's fair game though. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, I don't want this. She didn't get the guy fired, at least as far as I know. She's like, he's not commentating my match. So she had that kind of pull. And like, I get it. Like, I think she should have done that.
Freedom of speech is one of the most commonly misunderstood or misappropriated terms, especially when it comes to like the Constitution and stuff like that. Like, freedom of speech doesn't absolve you from everything you say.
Yeah.
Right. It just means the government can't come after you for what you say. Like you said, it does not absolve you of the repercussions of what you say. You can be an asshole.
Yeah.
But other people can be an asshole to you right back.
Yeah. So I was having a chat with some of the boys and I was like, look, I could do what that guy does. I could. I could. I don't want to, but I could do that. And I could make money doing that. I really think that I have that kind of talent. I really do. But I have a real job. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if I go on there being a jerk all the time, I'm tired. it's like who would want that person in their company? Or like, I'm in the military right now. Like, who would want that guy in their unit out there saying a bunch of nonsense about wrestling and being mean to people all the time? I wouldn't want that guy around. Like, so you like in the military, I can get in a lot of trouble and get kicked out. And then in the civilian side, I could absolutely lose my job. It's like, look, you're a jerk. You bring discredit to our company. I don't want you here. And like, you could get fired. So yeah, but for your freedom of speech. And so you got to be willing to accept that. And now the guy is kind of, you know, pissing about it, but it's like, look, get what you deserve, dude.
That's the thing is the second you decide you're going to become in the pro wrestling business, you have to become a character. And I don't think either you nor I are interested in being a character. So we kind of hang out in our Voices of Wrestling sphere and have like we have a small little niche and I'm pretty happy where we are. Like, I don't really want to have that kind of attention devoted to me. Like, I don't want to be a gimmick. Like, we're very proud that we're not gimmicks. Like, we're kind of who we are and it's fine. Like, I don't need to chase clicks. I think you boy both feel that way. We don't need to chase clicks.
Yeah. Right. And we've been accused of that before. And I'm just like, no, I promise you we're not doing that.
No, we have.
If we were, we wouldn't have our next headline, which is, which I'm actually going to clip. I'm going to clip our next headline. And it's going to do absolute dick on YouTube, right? It's not going to get us anywhere on YouTube, but I'm still going to clip it. But AEW's business is bouncing back a little bit. They had a rough go there. Revolution. I'm pulling up the numbers now. Revolution actually did in between 135,000, 140,000 pay-per-view buys. I mean, it was down from last year's Revolution, but that was an anomaly because of the Sting match. Yeah. But it's since All In last year, it's doing great. They're still working some of the smaller venues for weekly TV, but they're doing pretty good there. And then Revolution had what, like over 10,000 paid, like close to $1 million gate. Ratings seem to have stabilized. We'll never know what the max numbers are. And I'm honestly kind of sick of people talking about them. Cause we'll never, like, if you don't get the actual numbers, I don't fucking care. So stop bringing it up. Right. Right. Like Peacock and NBC tried that.
The biggest work
event, and we called bullshit on them. I'm doing the same thing to anybody that's talking about max numbers. Let's just call bullshit because we don't have the numbers. They're not going to give them to them. We're not talking about them. Mm-hmm. But TV ratings seem to have stabilized.
The biggest work in wrestling right now is these streaming numbers. Yeah. Because like Dave was talking about how they reset. Like, you know, if you could watch the show three times and you count as three times in the same sitting and it'll count as three different views. You know, it's all work. Like it's stupid. We're beyond the part we should talk about TV ratings because that's over. Right.
Yeah.
Now, all you can look at is like how are tickets selling better. They're running smaller venues. The show is better with them. We said that a year ago. They should run smaller venues. They are. The show feels better. The show looks cooler, right? In these smaller places. That place they ran in San Francisco a couple weeks ago looked awesome, right? That was really cool. So I don't know, man. I think it's going good. Like I do. I think they're starting to turn things around. The pay-per-view was really good. It was really, really good. They're selling tickets again. Like it's going to be, this is, like I said, this is like WCW in like late 95, early 96. And that's that trajectory you want to be on.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're not at their peak. I see a comment. They're not. How are they? I got this comment. I'm not going to be a dick to this guy because I'm just going to explain the difference. Right. How exactly is the business stabilized compared to their peak? I'm not comparing them to their peak. I'm comparing them to last year. They were on the downhill slide, right? So here's their peak in 2021. Then they're on the downhill slide, and now they're coming back up again. That's what I'm talking about. They're on an upward trajectory. I'm not saying that they're at their peak again. That's not the definition of stabilization. Stabilization is this, right? Or trending upward. Right now, they're tending to trend upward. That is a good thing. If you're insecure about AEW and you don't like the fact that they're doing well, I'm sorry. I know that's offensive, and I apologize for being I don't fucking care. I'm just kidding. But I get that good news about AEW is offensive to some people because they have a hard-on for AEW. But it's trending upwards.
Mike, pull up the one, two down from that. This is an even dumber one. Like, Jeff, I'll pull it up myself. Business is consistently down year to year. No, it isn't.
They're making way more money this last year than they ever had.
They're making more money with their new TV deals. Right. Yes. Their shows are up right now. You take out the anomaly of the Sting retirement from a year ago. This is the biggest show they've done in a long time. Right.
Yeah.
TV is flat. That's all it is. It's flat. Like, again, I know it hurts people's feelings that this company isn't going to die. I know WWE fans are super insecure that there is more than one show to watch on TV. Like, it was better in the 80s and 90s, right? It was better when we had more things to watch. Come have fun with more to watch, not less to watch. In fact, listen to a podcast about how great things were in the 80s when we had multiple shows. Perhaps I can interest you in Mid-South Madness, available only on the Mike and JD Patreon show. Patreon network. Yeah. God damn it. I dropped a fucking ball.
Patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show. Mid-South Madness. We've got two episodes out. JD is knocking out another one this week. Not only do you like review the show, but you talk about like what's going on in the world
this week in history
at that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, let's do this again. Hold on. Because I'm just saying, I ain't saying, huh? AEW is always bad. But Mike, please read this because this is like not making sense to me.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to pick on this guy because I don't want this to become like a comment. Okay. I'm failing to see where they've stabilized. When you got the finish, you got a revolution. That is a subjective opinion about good and bad. We're talking about business. Yeah. So that's
business.
So
I got to crush
that. So we got to move on from that. I'm just saying. I ain't saying AEW is always bad, but at one point, are we going to criticize the company when it's needed? Brother, we do that every week.
Yeah.
Like we just got done doing that for weeks and weeks and weeks. Go back to some of my Tony Khan dumb face thumbnails where we buried the company. But that's what we do on this show. We call balls and strikes regardless, right? If the company's doing well, we say it. If they suck, we say it. That's what this show is about. We are not in the bag for AEW. Tony Khan's ever written me a check. I would like him to, but because he's got a lot of money.
I came on the show for 2.5-3 months talking about how much I hate my hobby.
Yeah.
Right. I got emails from people saying you are too depressing to listen to right now because you're not fun anymore because you hate your hobby. Like, so don't come out here and tell us that we're like, we talked about how JD was an asshole and you don't have to like, first of all, JD doesn't work for AEW. Right. I hate using my own damn name in this. He does not work for Mercedes. Like House of Glory is its own thing. So if Mercedes is on an indie show and says, I don't want that guy commentating my match. Well, guess what? Mercedes JD from New York, way down here. Yeah. Like that's the way it goes, man.
Mercedes, multi-millionaire, internationally known YouTuber. Right. That's like that. That's how it goes. So. But if you want to hear us explain how JD from New York got pulled from House of Glory, rewind. We already did that.
We did that. The first time of the show. Listen, but, go watch the YouTube feed.
Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah. Yeah. Just rewind it. But, AEW Revolution, March 9, 2025, crypto.com arena. I just got some notes here. 135,000, 140,000 pay-per-view buys, highest since All In first week estimates. With 11,435 attendees, over 10,000 paid in the gate, nearing $1 million. Major financial win for AEW. And then, of course, it was outside of the main event. It was one of the best shows that they've ever done. But, yeah, the main event stunk the joint up. We did a whole video about that. Mm-hmm. Did a whole video about that. Stunk the joint up. And that video that I did actually did pretty well, by the way. So thank you to all of you guys for clipping. And thank you to Aragold for the Edge looking like Hulk Hogan AI thing that I had for the thumbnail. That was beautiful. Thank you. Absolutely thank you. That helped out a lot. But that main event stunk so bad, they're redoing it this week on Dynamite.
Lance was saying he thinks it will do a TV number. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. So we'll see. Yeah. I mean, like if it puts a bullet in this feud, I'm fine. Tied up behind. I mean, like there's someone in the chat saying, oh, their house shows are selling like 4,000. Brother, they're running smaller venues.
Yeah. They're not even doing four. They're like doing three. If that.
Again, go back and watch WCW in 96 where they are running very small venues, where they are running nightclubs, where they are running cool. Like, you don't have to run NBA basketball arenas to make cool shows. Dude, Lucha Underground had a TV studio, and that show was awesome.
Yeah.
As far as aesthetic goes.
I really liked mid-2000s Impact and our TNA, and they were in, like, Universal Studios. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
But... again,
ambiance and environment are more important than saying we sell out 16,000 every week when you can't. Because they were trying to do that a year ago. They were trying to run these big NBA venues and playing in caverns, and it wasn't working. This is better.
Well, and that's not the argument. If you're only comparing them to WWE, right? Say, they can't be successful because they're not WWE. Well, then it's like they're never going to be successful, and I guess you're always going to win that argument, right? But what I'm saying is, if you compare them to themselves from a year ago, business is trending upward. The show seems to have, like, leveled out. Yes, it's not perfect. There's still bad stuff on the show. I didn't think Dynamite was good last week, to be honest with you. I was bored to tears by that episode. And I thought that Hechicero versus Orange Cassidy was a bad main event. Did a decent number, but I didn't think that was like a good, like, I wouldn't put that as my main event of a TV show, right? Coming off of a hot pay-per-view. I get the feeling that the roster was pretty beat up, and so that's why they just kind of trotted out some people. But I didn't think it was good last week. But that's not the topic. Mm-hmm. The topic is the business is trending back upwards. They're not at their peak, but they're getting better, and that is the argument. Anything else you guys are saying doesn't fucking matter to what I'm saying the argument is.
Well, here's the thing, too. We're in one of the three hottest periods in the history of WWE. Right.
Yeah.
What are the other two periods? 1984 and 1998. Yeah. Right. Like, this is not some, like, wrestling is super cyclical, and it was in a down cycle for a long time. So you're going to tell me WWE as a business was failing in between the years of like 2005 to like 2018 or 19 or 20 at 20, like until they started getting hot again? No. They were in a down spiral. Like AEW was down. Now they're starting to tick up a little bit. That's wrestling. Things cycle up, things cycle down. Read a book. And Tim Hornbaker's got great stuff.
Yeah. WWE is on absolute fucking fire right now, by the way.
It is.
Dude, I know the numbers for Netflix aren't exactly what they thought they were going to be, but their like house show business is insane right now.
Phenomenal.
It's absolutely insane. SmackDown is... like their ratings are doing really, their SmackDown ratings are like kind of like right or like a little bit less than what they're doing on Fox, but like much better than what people thought that they would be doing on Friday night on USA. Right. Mm-hmm. They're doing fantastic. So, go ahead.
Let's piss. Phenomenalize. I'm just saying the booking is bad. That's all. Okay. In your opinion, if the booking was bad, the pay-per-view would not be trending upward. They wouldn't have sold more seats, and they wouldn't have sold more pay-per-views. You cannot like the main event booking. I think we're all in agreement there, but the rest of the show was well booked. They told good stories across the board until the main event. So, I mean, you can have opinions, but then it doesn't make them realities.
Right. So they built, so for that pay-per-view, and I don't want to stay on Revolution pay-per-view, God damn it. But but on that pay-per-view, they had three different marquee matches, all of which could have been the main event, that blew off feuds that have been lasting a long time. Like well-built stories. Mm-hmm. Kenny Omega and Takeshita is a well-built story that's been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. Right. Omega and Fletcher, awesome story that's been happening for a long time. And then, of course, you got Toni Storm and Mariah May, which like probably should have been the main event, right? Mm-hmm. And that blew off a 1 year story arc. Like I get like the people that are saying that it was just matches. That's just not true. They did have some matches on there that weren't built, but like they had three amazing matches that were like, I think they all got 5 stars. that were well-built year-long feuds. They had the main event, which was a story that I thought ended up turning out to be a good story, but the main event was flat. And then there were some other matches on the show that didn't really have much stories, but like, that's fine.
Which didn't have much of a story to it on the tag team title match. The tag match, sure, that didn't have a story.
Yeah, yeah. That match, the Mercedes Moné match, didn't really have, like, it was just like,
they had a story. But they built it on TV for about 3 weeks. Like, it wasn't this long, deep story, but I mean, they built something.
Like, but it wasn't like this in depth story arc. No. I don't think that that's comparable to the top four matches.
I agree.
That's all that I'm saying. And then you had Hangman and MJF, which was like a really good fucking story, too, right? Mm-hmm. And open the show. So stories up and down that pod, up and down Revolution, right? And that's why they did the best pay-per-view number that they've done since All In. And that's why we continue to criticize them on this show, because we bully people. We bully that company into doing better because we know that they're capable of so much more. Let's get off of the AEW topic.
Please.
God damn it. Okay. So WWE, they're insane right now. Road to WrestleMania in full gear. I was able to watch John Cena's promo from earlier today. So they were in Europe, huge house. John Cena was over like a motherfucker. Can be one of the top heels in the business. He came out and I thought he nailed his promo out of the park. I thought he did a great job. So I think WrestleMania is, I think they're probably going to have to like knock down like stadium walls to fit more people in there. That's how big this thing's going to be.
Probably. I mean, WWE is super hot right now. I don't wish I care. I don't know. It's a good thing that The Rock came along and disrupted all the plans, because the critique going in was that it was kind of flat and the rest of the show is kind of flat. It's really good that they were able to talk Cena into this heel turn. Because it wasn't like this was a well-built long-term story. But this is The Rock just coming in and throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. And fortunately, you've got generational performer like John Cena who's willing to shake it up a little bit, right? Because, yeah. I mean, what else do you have that's hot going into this?
What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. We'll get back to your show in just a minute. Do want to let you know about a brand new sponsor, though, we have on the network, NordVPN. NordVPN aims to make the internet a better place for everybody. You can free your internet from online threats, censorship, and surveillance, as well as access content that is not available in your region. And this was one of the great ways that I use NordVPN. With WWE moving all their content to another streaming service internationally, you can use NordVPN to switch your region and access everything that they have on that new service. Now, on the flip side, say you still want access to where WWE used to have their content, and maybe you live outside the United States. Well, hey, NordVPN again is there to help. It's not just wrestling, though. If there's a sporting event or a TV show that's unavailable where you live, do not worry. You can still watch it with NordVPN. Just switch your virtual location to a country that is showing it. Plus, NordVPN is a great way to protect your private data, like bank details and passwords, especially when you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. One of the things that I love about NordVPN is that you can save money on flights, hotels, and subscriptions by virtually changing your location to a country with lower prices. As someone who travels a lot, you guys know vacations and all the other stuff. This is a tool that I use all the time to score better deals. Shop smarter with NordVPN. Come on, what are you doing? And don't worry about slow streaming either. NordVPN is the fastest VPN out there, so no more buffering or lagging. It even has a threat protection feature that blocks viruses and phishing sites. Best of all, you can use one account on up to 10 devices, and it costs about the same as a cup of coffee each month. Now, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to our link, nordvpn.com/voice, which will give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. Again, it's nordvpn.com/voice to get 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. Best of all, there's no risk. Nord has a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not happy, use that right there, 30-day money-back guarantee. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/voice to get 4 extra months on the 2-year NordVPN plan. One more time, nordvpn.com/voice to get 4 extra months on the 2-year NordVPN plan. And, of course, we want to thank NordVPN for sponsoring the podcast network. Now, back to your show.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Well, I mean, Jey Uso's still pretty hot. I mean,
it's a story.
Yeah.
Like, no, Everyone, I keep hearing that WWE is the company that does these stories. Great. What's another one? Because you can't tell me Cena and Cody Rhodes is this well-booked, intricate story with all these places. We know that's bullshit. Rock came
but
in and said,
"Hey, but JD, hold on. But JD, we're like 2 weeks into the story between those two.
I agree. Because
by the time we get to WrestleMania, they will have it.
For sure. And that's not planned. But it wasn't planned.
It's planned now. They're planning it out right now. By the time we get to WrestleMania, they will be there. The story will be told once we get there.
I understand
what you're saying.
I'm tired of people worshiping at the altar of Paul Levesque as this great booker. When this had nothing to do with him, this was thrown in his lap from The Rock, and it's the hottest thing the company has right now. Like, it's worked out fantastic because you have generational performers doing generational work, which is great, which is what they can lean into. It's their strength. But I don't want to hear how amazing a booker Paul Levesque is when he had nothing to do with what's going to drive the show. That's reality. On the undercard, Jey Uso is super hot. Great. Who? What's he doing?
He's challenging for the World Heavyweight title against Gunther, been a year-long story. That story is good, too.
Jey Uso match is going to get over because all they do is trot out stuff that gets over. Like, their entrances are over. People are going to sit on their hands for the actual wrestling match because WWE fans don't really care about wrestling.
I disagree. I watched that match that they had on Saturday Night's Main Event from a couple months ago. It was a good match, and the fans were into it. Gunther is an amazing wrestler. Jey Uso is not a good wrestler. Okay,
let's not pretend Jey Uso is a good wrestler.
He's over, right?
And he's over.
He's over. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to take a beating, and then he's going to hit some super kicks, and then he's going to get the pin, right? And it's going to be a basic match, and it's going to fucking get over, right?
It'll get over.
It's going to do great for them.
It'll get over.
They did have something with Rhea and Bianca, but they've interjected Io into it, and they made it a three-way. I'm not a big fan of three-way. I don't like three-way matches for titles. I can't stand that. CM Punk and Roman Reigns would be the story that they're going with, but now they got that a three-way with Seth Rollins. Seth and CM Punk was a great story. I thought their cage match last week was pretty good. It wasn't as good as the Fletcher and Ospreay one, which you're not going to get that because it's just not what they do. It was just a vehicle to get to the three-way. I'm not a fan of the three-ways, right? But there is something there, and they got something cooking with Paul Heyman. We'll see what happens there. I get the feeling that CM Punk is turning heel and Paul Heyman is going to be his manager, and then they're going to springboard into something down there. But I don't know what that's going to be. So they got all these things kind of cooking in the background, and it's pretty going to go, and I'm having trouble deciphering it. And plus, I don't watch SmackDown. I just ain't got time. I mean, I can't do SmackDown and Raw, but I've been watching Raw, so I'm like kind of seeing where they're going with some of this stuff, and it is pretty interesting. But the three-way stuff is killing me. I can't do three-ways on these big pay-per-views. I think it's a waste.
Three-way is such half-ass booking, right? Because you're not actually telling a story. Like, there's a reason why there's no, like, find me a book or a movie or any television show where you have a protagonist, an antagonist, and a center antagonist.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. But pro wrestling gets to do that because then they get away with, like, you know, conclusive endings. Yeah. And they can do half-assed bullshit. We saw in AEW too, where they interjected Christian in that thing. That was fucking terrible. Like, it's become such a crutch since then. It's one of these things that became popular in the 90s that needs to go away. Like, these three-way and four-way and like 27-way matches, they're all fucking dumb, and they're all to get away from like conclusive endings. I don't even want to say doing jobs because that's a corny ass term, but I mean, it's to get away from doing conclusive endings.
Yeah.
And to drag shit out. And it's lame, quite frankly. And we've seen, did you just pull a hammy? You made a face.
Yes.
Old age fucking sucks.
Like,
I'm not in it.
Sitting around, like, you know, when we were kids and we were doing dream matches, I never thought to just put a bunch of people all in one match. Like, oh, you know what my dream match would be? would be like all of these guys fighting each other at once. Like, I don't get it. It reeks of they don't want to, like, so with Seth, CM Punk and Roman Reigns, I get the feeling they just really like Seth and they don't want to leave him out because the two stars are Punk and Roman. And say, people say whatever the fuck they want about Punk, but he came into the company. He was the top star in the other company. He's not the top star here, but he's like top five. Mm-hmm. He's like right up there within that top five. And it should just be Roman and Punk. They don't want to hurt Seth's feelings. So like, okay, we're going to give you a match too. We'll put you in it.
Yeah. I mean, I always found Seth Rollins to be a tad overrated. Like, he's good. I can't tell you he's not good, but yeah, I've always been like, yeah, but you know, with Seth, I mean, like, he's fine. But I mean, like, I do think there's like far more intrigue and like deep history in a Roman Reigns CM Punk match, right?
Right.
And they do this. It's like, remember with when they had Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey, and they had to put Charlotte Flair in, and then David's like, well, you had to put Charlotte in. No, why?
Didn't.
Yeah, like, why? There's no reason to do that. Do stuff.
They have two nights. Let Seth wrestle somebody else. Right? Yeah, they have two nights. Let him wrestle somebody else. Like, Drew is wrestling Damian Priest. I like Drew McIntyre. Damian Priest, right? Mm-hmm. Let put him in that match, right? Like, nobody cares about that match. Just put him in that match, right?
Or do something. Like, they got a million people on their roster. You tell me you can't build a story with Seth Rollins and somebody? Like, yeah. I don't know, man. Like, they closed the door on the CM Punk Seth Rollins thing with the cage match. That should have been what ended. Oh yeah, that's right. Cage matches don't end shit in that company. They're just a thing to do.
Yeah, it was just the way. So it ended up being where, like, you know, Roman came out and eliminated Seth Rollins by, because they do escape the cage, which is stupid.
Stupid.
Pulled Rollins out, and that's how Rollins was able to get the victory over Punk, because Punkamania ain't doing no jobs, brother. So that's how they did it. And then I just want to see Roman and Punk. I just think that would be a good match. And I'm the only one on this network that thinks Roman Reigns is a good wrestler. I get it.
No, I like Roman. But,
yeah.
I think Roman's way underrated. Thanks, kid. Stand on business, JD. Fed bad. Agreed. Like, it's perfectly fine if you like to apologize for rapists, then you know, go ahead and love the Fed. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, Fed is bad. I just happen to think the show's pretty good right now. And I'm like hey, looking forward to WrestleMania.
Harvey Weinstein made a lot of good movies. I ain't gonna argue that one bit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I still like Mallrats. Like, I'm not, you know what I mean?
It's just like, you. I thought nobody liked Mallrats. I thought that was like the hated Kevin Spacey or Kevin Smith movie.
I love Mallrats. Really? I like Mallrats. I like Clerks. I like Clerks 2. I like Chasing Amy. I thought that was good. I'm curious and I want to get Daza. I'm sure he's going to chime in on this one. Did you like Jersey Girl with Ben Affleck and George Carlin?
No.
I liked Jersey Girl. It was a chick flick, but I still dug it. I thought that one was pretty good. So, but those are all Miramax movies, and you know, Harvey Weinstein was in charge of Miramax, right? So
Harvey Weinstein was in charge of Miramax. They From Dusk Till Dawn is like, people say, what's your favorite vampire movie? And the answer is From Dusk Till Dawn. And that was Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino working for Harvey Weinstein. Like, bad people getting, like, this thing is, you have to separate art from artists. But I mean, like, when people draw the line about how amazing WWE is, I get nauseous. And the fact that, you know, I'm a teacher and Linda McMahon's in charge of the Department of Education makes me want to stab people repeatedly. So,
I'm trying not to, go into politics, because like, people started a political chat in our Discord. I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna get in trouble, Rich.
Our Voices of Wrestling Discord? I haven't been on there in a few days, really.
Well, this was a couple weeks ago.
Was it? I missed it.
It was a couple weeks ago. So like, in the Discord, because I can't even remember what the topic was. I think it might have been Doge, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I think we were making fun of the nuclear situation. I'm just like, oh gosh, damn it. Yeah, look, Stephen Chamber. Ugh, politics. I get it. We're not going to go into politics. God,
we're not going to go into politics.
Yeah. Sometimes we venture into it.
I get frustrated that as a teacher, the person that is in charge of what we do hates what we do. And doesn't understand what we do, because there's nothing that understands the people that know the least about education are the ones that have never spent a minute working in education. Yeah. Like, I love, like, Mike, I'm going to tell them into your job and tell you what you're doing wrong, even though I don't know shit about it. That happens in my job all the time. People tell me, you suck, teacher. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Oh, you can't, because you're a fucking moron.
Yeah. Congress people try to tell military how to do their job all the time.
That's a good point.
Yeah. They set our budget. They tell us what we could spend it on. It's like they usually give us way too much. But all right, we're not going to stick around in politics. I can go on this all day. I did have a joke about politics too. I saw this good. You know, I'm just going to tell the joke. I saw this joke and I was just like, so you ever heard of Shane Gillis?
Yeah, the comedian. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's actually a pretty funny guy.
I've actually never heard his stuff. I know he's controversial though.
Yeah, yeah, he got jammed up because his comedy, like, he was saying some words that white people shouldn't say in his comedy, and like it came back to bite him when he got hired by SNL, and then he ended up getting fired by SNL because of it. Well, he has now gone, so he's come all the way back, and he said he was just talking about like falling asleep to like World War II documentaries. Like, oh man, he's talking about me. So I was like, let me see this clip. He's like. He goes, you know, falling asleep to World War II documentaries is a signs of early onset Republican. He goes, I'm going through that right now, but I'm fighting against it. Like, I'm fighting it too. I was like, I sent it to my wife. She goes, that is you. I'm fighting against some of the more Republican tendencies.
Early onset Republican. That's funny, actually. It's a good joke.
Yeah. All right. I got some more topics. WWE, speaking of Fed Bad. Has interest in Jeff Cobb. He's coming up a free agent. Jeff Cobb, 42-year-old veteran, had obviously been with New Japan for a long time, former Olympian, says that at one point there was a rumor that WWE had him on their internal roster. I don't know where he would go, if he would go to NXT or if he would just go right to the main roster. I don't know if he'd be like he's Chamorro. So I don't know if I don't think he would fit in with the Bloodline, but. I don't know, that's never stopped them before. You know,
we have Tongans in the Bloodline now. People who aren't actually in blood related are in the Bloodline or whatever. Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. They just kind of stick all the Islander people, the Pacific Islanders and the Bloodline. Yeah. I don't know. That being said, Jeff Cobb's great, and he's been in New Japan for a long time. And I don't know how WWE would use him or what they would do with him, but if he can get a chance to make some money there. That's great. I mean, I heard Lanza talking about this. I think it was on the flagship. Like, Jeff Cobb's got a kid who goes to school in Japan. Like, he's pretty well entrenched into, like, Japanese society at this point. But if he's got a chance to make some money, cool. You know, I mean, I'm happy for him.
Yeah, go get paid. He's out there been grinding for a long time.
For a long time. Tons of.
And New Japan doesn't really pay a lot. So not compared to what WWE and AEW is going to pay. If they did pay a lot, then half their roster wouldn't, or half their main stars would not be in AEW right now. So, if Jeff Cobb has an opportunity to move back to the States and get on with WWE, I say, I mean, more power to him. You know, Garrett Gonzalez, our old boss, our buddy, is like questioning. He's like, oh, is he really going to go? And I was just like, why don't you just ask him? It's like, hey, that's Uncle Jeff. And he's like, well, that's, you know, his John LaRocca's boy, Uncle Jeff.
Like friends.
Yeah. So I you know, did my due diligence as a journalist, as a broadcast journalist, and on Twitter while LaRocca was as usual burying AEW, I was like, so, hey man, all we want to know is like what's going on with Jeff Cobb. And of course he kayfabed me because I know that he knows. Like he for sure knows, but he won't say anything.
Mm-hmm. LaRocca's also a gimmick. I actually think he could fit in well there. I think he could do pretty good stuff. I just don't know where he goes, you know? And I think NXT isn't a developmental brand anymore. We should stop pretending that it's a developmental brand. You know, Sean Spears is there and he's in his 40s. You know what I mean? Like, he ain't developing anybody there, really. Ethan Page is almost 40. So, but you do need guys that are good. You need guys that are good to work with these young people. And Jeff Cobb's got a very unique style. I could fit. I don't know. I think it's beneath him a little bit personally, NXT, but I just don't know where else you put him. Like,
you know, I would say he's beneath him, but NXT, like I have to keep saying it, NXT is the third most watched pro wrestling show in North America. Mm-hmm. more people watch that than both AEW shows. Like, so him going to NXT is not, if it's not beneath him. Like, if that's the case, then AEW
wrestling is beneath the wrestling specifically is beneath him. The show is brutal.
I agree, but he could also be a guy that could help those young guys.
No, I agree with that. I
would fucking love to see Obafemi and Jeff Cobb. I watched Obafemi and Moose last week. Obafemi rules. Yeah. He is going to be the main guy sooner rather than later. That guy is so awesome. So I would love to see him in there, you know, in there with Jeff Cobb. Now, as a pro wrestling fan, as a purist pro wrestling fan, would I much rather Cobb go to AEW because it fits my needs more? I think so. But they got so many guys. They have a million people.
I don't want to see Jeff Cobb in AEW because, okay, like, it's
that's
so
a hard take. Go ahead.
Why? I mean, where does he go?
Yeah.
Like, I have like reservations about Josh Alexander in AEW, and I'm like, this brace for impact, right? We are brace for impact. Josh Alexander, OGs. That dude wears headgear, for God's sakes. I love Josh Alexander, but I just don't know what he's gonna do. You know, I'm very, very on Speedball. Always have been, always will be. Speedball's gonna be a mid carder there, and I think that's probably where he belongs.
Right.
But with Jeff Cobb, it's like, he's really good in the ring. He's very bland as far as like a personality outside of it goes. So I don't know. I don't know how he fits in AEW. Like, at least in WWE, they'll give him a script, you know, and they'll figure out, like, he'll probably, like I said, they'll probably stick him in the Bloodline or put him in NXT or something like that. Yeah. I don't think AEW needs Jeff Cobb.
Yeah. No, I feel you. Josh Alexander showed up on the My Little Pony Wrestling over the weekend. MLP, Maple Leaf Pro. So the big main event of the evening was Bram versus Baron Corbin.
Woof.
The NWA title. I just want to say that if Scott D'Amore comes across the border, we should ship him to Guantanamo for real. Like, what are we like? Come on, man. It's like, what are we doing, Scotty? Like, how dare you book that? That's the best you can do in Canada. Those are two Americans, by the way. And they're supposed to be a Canadian company, and they got two like shitheads in their main event.
I wasn't prepared for that. I almost died. that was really good, actually, Mike. That was really good. I don't know, man. Is like, what is Maple Leaf Pro? Is it a real company? Is this just Scott D'Amore playing every couple months? I don't even understand what it's supposed to be at this point.
So he actually did an interview with Garrett and Dave, and he said basically that right now they're just getting the hours of matches and stuff, like getting just a ton of footage together in hopes of selling it to a network in Canada. Like, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to become the CMLL of Canada, right? Or the New Japan of Canada, except for they don't want to come. CMLL would be more comp because they don't want to come across the border, because they know once they come across the border, then they're competing with, like, they're being subsidized by AEW right now, right? Because AEW is like sending their talent there. Sure. And so they're trying to become a subsidiary or whatever you want to call it of AEW, to where like he can use their talent on their off days. And so once he comes across the border, he might not be able to do that. So he wants to stay in Canada. And so, you know, it is what it is. I don't know if it's going to work. I mean, I hope the best for Scott. I think he's a good dude, but, I think if anybody ever thought that he should book Ring of Honor, you should see what he booked this weekend and realize maybe that's not a good idea.
I don't know if I think Scott D'Amore is a good booker. He was, but then again, he wasn't really booking TNA when we were doing the show, right? When he was running things, he was just kind of like the guy in charge, and he had people underneath him that were the booker. He was like Watts in Mid-South.
TNA has always been kind of like they have a committee, and then everything has to run through him though, because he was in charge of everything. Mm-hmm. So, Jimmy Jacobs and RD Evans's like worst tendencies, they made it to TV. And part of the reason is because they worked Scott and they kept him on TV. Like, oh, you're a great TV performer. Maybe you should be like our on screen authority figure. And so he was like BQ calls him Scott the headset, because he was always had a stupid fucking headset on, berating the talent, always putting himself over. And they worked him, and then they got all their bad ideas on TV. That's Scott for you.
I used to compare that era of Impact Wrestling to the Muppet Show. It was a wrestling show about people trying to make a wrestling show. And Scott D'Amore was essentially Kermit the Frog in the original Muppet Show, the guy trying to make sure the show goes off without a hitch and trying to deal with all these lunatics. Like, if you ever watched the Muppet Show and then watched an episode of Impact, the format and structure were identical. So,
It's like Scott trying to write a wrestling show while it's happening.
Trying to put out fires while it was happening. I remember my favorite Scott D'Amore thing was like, he would not let Josh fight Moose. And we thought for months that Scott was working him. He was protecting Moose. And it turned out it was just a plot hole.
Yeah. They just had this idea and they didn't know what to do with it. And they just never finished it.
Yeah.
So like at some point, like Scott should have turned on Josh, but they just never got to it.
That would have made sense.
Yeah. King of the North, remember Russell House? I might have you banned for bringing up Russell House. I don't like.
So you might not remember this. When Kenny Omega won the AEW world title and they announced, which by the way was facilitated by an article that I wrote for WrestleJoy, for the record, he announced, oh, you have to see what happens on Impact. Yeah. And Impact had its like, and this is back when Impact was hard to find. Like you had to like, well, was it on Pursuit at the time or was it on
It was on Access at the time, but they were also on Twitch.
Twitch
was they were co-streaming on Twitch.
Yeah. And they did their best number in that era ever. And people were like, what the fuck? Because they gave us Wrestle House, the worst of that era. Like it was this god awful, like the real world with pro wrestlers trying to be funny. And it was as brutal as you can imagine being. It was so fucking terrible.
Yeah. It was so bad. They ended up redoing it like a couple years later, but it was like Johnny Swinger and like, because Johnny Swinger is so funny, I did laugh, but I was like, I'm embarrassed to watch this.
Johnny Swinger is one of those guys that you could put on television and you just laugh at him because he just oozes charisma and he's so goddamn funny. Even when he's not trying to be funny, he's just one of those guys. I enjoyed Swinger.
Johnny Swinger like legit has comedic timing. Not everybody has that.
No, he's like so often pro wrestling tries to make shit funny with people that aren't funny. Watch any WWE television show over the last 25 years. And then you get a guy like Johnny Swinger comes along who's like legitimately funny. And like just his delivery on silly ass lines. Like every week we would cover that show and I'd be like, man, Swinger gets me every freaking time. Like he was great. I missed that.
Yeah. Just a couple more things and we're going to get out of here and then we're going to head to overtime where JD and I are going to talk. We're going to talk my unbelievably perfect, undisputed. I don't think JD is going to have a single argument against my top 10 heel turns of all time. I think it's just going to go smooth. He's not going to shit on it one bit. I think he's just going to agree with everything I say. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen, but that's coming to Patreon, patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. Just quick notes. We don't even need to get into it because I think we've talked to Ray Phoenix and Malakai Black ad nauseum.
Talked about last week too.
Yeah, they're headed to SmackDown. There were some vignettes for both of them. So there you go. Yeah, look, good for them. They're happy. Yeah, hopefully they're happy. I do find it curious that Ray Phoenix going to SmackDown, Penta's on Raw. Looks like they're going to keep them apart for a little bit. So I didn't expect that. So should be in.
Best choice.
Yeah. And lastly, my Patreon right now is my sacrifice review. I'm going to of that for YouTube. I did some other stuff on there, but the sacrifice review is coming to YouTube. I just want to say TNA had their first cage match in like 6 years, and dude, they had the most rinky dink fucking cage I've ever seen in my life. It's like they ordered a cage off of Timu, and it didn't fit the ring. It didn't fit the ring. So they measured it wrong, so they ended up having to cut another like part of the of a fence out, and then like attaching it to it. And then you had Leon Slater do a 450 Swanton bomb from the top of it. It was pretty incredible, by the way. Like that kid is awesome. If you have not seen Leon Slater, go check him out. He freaking rules.
He's great.
But I was like, this brother's gonna die. Right, because the cage is just so wobbly, shoddily made. Godzilla made the joke. He goes, I think somebody in El Paso is missing a fence right now. It was like that bad. But they did over 3,500 both nights. So big business for them. Sell out crowds both nights. They did a great job. But I just want to make fun of their cage. So everybody go check out my sacrifice review. Also on that same match, Elias or Elijah came to the ring on a horse. JD, you got to see this clip. It's the fucking funniest clip of all time. I was like, this is kind of like a badass move. Like, this dude's coming out on a horse and he's got his guitar and he's like trying to sing, but he can't get the horse to move into the spotlight. So they turn off all the lights and got this big spotlight and you got Elias on the horse, but all you can see is like the horse's hooves and like Elias's leg because he can't get the fucking horse into the spotlight. Right. And so like, he's like starting to sing a song and like TNA eventually goes, ah, fuck it. Let's just turn all the lights on. So then they had to like turn all the lights on, like pivot. And he ends up riding the horse all the way to the damn ring. And that turned out to be cool. But the beginning of it is like a perfect TNA moment. They couldn't get in the spotlight.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, but that was a cool moment. Everybody good. I know some of you guys don't listen to my TNA stuff, so I'm just going to give you stuff to watch. Tessa Blanchard versus Lei Ying Li turned out to be really good. Great match. Tessa is better than anybody's ever going to give her credit for. And when the girls are in there, when the women are in there wrestling Tessa, they hit Tessa a little bit harder, which makes the match much better. So you can probably understand why they hit her a little bit harder. But and she hits them right back too. So the matches are fucking stiff. So I thought that match was really good. Mike Santana versus Mustafa Ali is awesome of the week, I would say. I thought that match was fantastic. There was a Lucha Libre match between some NXT guys and the Rascals and Ace Austin. So that one was pretty good. So everybody go check that out. Full Sacrifice review coming to YouTube tomorrow, but it's on Patreon already, patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show. But guys, thanks to everybody for being here. Sorry, we're on an odd Monday night. We had a loose format going. Thanks to everybody in the chat. Even you haters in the chat.
Haters.
Oh, hold on. Bobby F has a question. We got 2 minutes, but do you guys think it's time for Swerve to beat Moxley and put the Death Riders angle to bed? I'm more interested in seeing Will, Hangman, Swerve, Fletcher. You know what? I get you. I feel you. We are Swerve fans on this podcast. We are like early adopters of the Swerve movement. I think the move is Will Ospreay it all in, though. I think that's what they do.
I think it's time to put the title on Swerve right now and do Swerve versus Ospreay at all in. That's
okay. So you're ready to just move off of Moxley?
It's not working, man. It's not working. And John Moxley's one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. Like, it's just not there. I don't think Moxley's washed or anything like that. I think it's this character and everything. It just doesn't work.
The worst part about AEW last year was that their two main stories that they tried failed. The Young Bucks turning on Tony Khan
failed,
and the Death Riders angle, complete flop. And that really kind of tanked the company for a year. And we're just now, like, they're just now coming out of it. And I think they eventually have to get that built off of Moxley. I just happen to think that Will Ospreay is the guy to do that. But if they decide to go Swerve, like, you're not going to get me complaining, because I love Swerve. I think Swerve is a megastar, for real.
Swerve's there. Give me Swerve versus Ospreay and the biggest show you can get. Like, I saw one of the trades, like, oh, they've only got so many tickets sold for All In. Well, dude, it's March! That show's not till August. Come on, man.
Yeah, they'll fill it up. They might not get to 20, but they'll still do really good. Yeah,
I bet they get to 20 because they'll grease it. Like, they'll do to get asses in the seats.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, guys, that's gonna do it for us this time. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-Main, no rain, from the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-Main, no rain.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now, you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.